Our Bible reading this morning is read to us by Moira. Thank you.
Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you, Moira. I have to say, well done. It's not the easiest of passages. Thank you very much. So today's passage, it's all about the arrival of the Holy Spirit. It describes the birth of the church. We're celebrating our birthday today. We're over 2,000 years old and still going strong. For interest, because I had to look this up because I was interested, the Church of Scotland in August will have had 440 birthdays, which means we're really very young. But that's to our advantage, because we have the hopes and the energy of youth on our side. But how did we arrive at today? The day that was the catalyst for the birth of God's church throughout the world. Let's have a quick recap. Last Sunday, we remembered the ascension of Jesus, which occurred 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. This was time Jesus used to prepare the disciples for what was to come. And before he left them, he commanded them, Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. After Jesus left them, the disciples did remain in Jerusalem as he commanded them. They spent their time in the temple praising God. They trusted Jesus to do as he commanded them, as he asked them. Is that trust in Jesus something we still see today? Have we, or anybody we know, ever said no to Jesus because, well, life is busy today. We're tangled in commitments, work, aspirations. We're always juggling priorities. But are our lives today really any different to those of the disciples? When we think what they were juggling to survive. The disciples were probably eager to continue the work they had begun with Jesus that we know about from Luke chapter 9 when he sent them out originally. But they knew if Jesus asked you to do something, there was a good reason, and they should do as they're asked. They knew they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They just didn't know when or what to expect. That must have been quite difficult. Have we ever been in a similar situation? And how did we react to being asked to wait? It can be really difficult because sometimes you think, no, I've got this, Jesus. I know this situation better than you because you're so busy with other more important things. How easy is it for us to wait when we're so sure this is the right way forward? But the disciples waited, and not long after Jesus' departure, the Holy Spirit came. So we're up to our passage now. But why did Jesus send the Holy Spirit at Pentecost? Pentecost is a Greek word for the festival of weeks, Shavuot, which was held in Jerusalem. All Jewish men had to attend. Pentecost celebrated the wheat harvest, and this came 50 days after the barley harvest. Jerusalem would have been packed because you had to go. Numbers would have been in their thousands, tens of thousands. And the atmosphere would be party-like, everybody expectant of a good time as they gathered together to thank God for the harvest. It was a chance also to meet up again with family and friends because Jews would be coming from all parts of the Roman Empire as a result of the earlier Diaspora. So we've got this background and we know the disciples were in an upper room praising God, waiting. And it was against this backdrop of normal, ongoing Jewish life, though it was probably slightly busier and more chaotic at that moment, a time when the recent events of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection probably were being discussed still, because that in itself was such an extraordinary event that had happened. that the Holy Spirit came. And similar to just over 30 years ago in Bethlehem, people were able to witness, if they wanted to, another life-changing moment. Another example were given in the Bible of God using the situation to work his purpose out. Suddenly, as everyone's going about their business, a tremendous noise was heard descending from the sky, a violent wind. And it descended on the disciples, filling the building. And just as the disciples are getting over that, they then see what they can only describe, what looks to them like tongues of fire. And they touch each one of them there. And as a result, they find themselves speaking in different languages. Now, the disciples aren't the only ones coming to terms with what has just happened. So is everyone outside the building. Luke records the utter bewilderment of the crowd as they each hear their native language being spoken. And as we heard, they go, "How can this be? After all, aren't these men Galilean?" Because just like today, there were undesirable areas and undesirable people. Galilee was such an area. So in an effort to make sense of what was happening, some, it still happens today, decided to make fun of them, saying, "They're drunk." Peter then does something incredible. He stands up to speak, and not just to speak, but to address the crowd that has formed. And this is the same Peter who only a few weeks ago denied that he knew Jesus, despite before this denial saying to Jesus, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." That must have been a really incredible and difficult time for Peter to deny his Lord, the one he loved. But now, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he addresses the crowd. He immediately dispels the theory they're drunk because it's only 9 a.m. in the morning and no one under any circumstances would be drunk at that time. But then, even more incredibly and spirit-led, Peter, like Jesus, begins to speak to the crowd. And he begins with something, just like Jesus did, that they are familiar with. The book of Joel. He explains all that has happened was foretold by Joel. He continues to teach them that Jesus was the Messiah. He brought the message of salvation to God's people. It's almost as if Peter is standing there holding a huge Bible study on Joel. And the wonderful thing is that Joel states God will pour out his Spirit on everyone. It says, "Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women." Everyone is included, men, women, children, outcasts. God's message of salvation is for everyone, not just the Jewish people as they believed. And that was an incredible message then, because at that time in Jewish society, women, children, and outcasts were seen as little or no value at all. Didn't have a voice in society. Peter's message was life-changing for them. It was challenging to others. The impact it had was incredible, as we see a little further on in Acts chapter 2. Perhaps sometimes we can fall into the trap of thinking, that's all history. It happened so long ago. Times are different now. Are they? We've made astounding leaps in medicine, technology, so many things. Yet, we still share much with those times. We still have those that are seen as outcasts, those women and children who don't have a voice in this world. We have undesirable areas. We have food poverty. We have homelessness. The list could go on. With the arrival of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the disciples couldn't stop praising God, of telling everyone the good news of Jesus. Do we feel like that today? Or are we perhaps a little tired, perhaps defeated even? Because we live in a society which often rejects Jesus. Although there is a spark of hope. Recently, a poll has shown more young people are reaching out to churches to find answers. I hope the church is there for them. We know Jesus is life-changing. The difference he's made in our lives. As we celebrate Pentecost today, thanking Jesus for his Holy Spirit, for his church, do we give the gift we treasure so much just to ourselves? Or do we share this gift with others around us? There is a musical by Roger Jones. It's a short musical. It's written for the church. It's called Saints Alive. And if you Google it on YouTube, you should find it. Some versions of churches doing it are really good. Some are. But that is a fantastic musical telling the story of Pentecost, far better than I can. And I would really recommend it to you all, if you have the time to listen to it. Saints Alive by Roger Jones. If you don't put Roger Jones in, you get some really weird things about saints and pop groups. So Roger Jones. We join to sing our next hymn now. Let us sing to the God of salvation. Thank you.